Baby, I'm playing on you tonight. Hunt you down, eat you alive, just like edibles.
Welcome to the show, everyone. This is MIS, our Management Information Science. I'm your host, Todd Wolfhurst. On this episode, we're going to be talking about some other podcasts that I like to listen to. So we'll have two different stories from two different podcasts. The first one is from NPR Technology. I'm just going to play one of the stories from one of the most recent episodes that they have. And the second episode that I'm going to be playing for you is from Marketplace Tech. It's a daily podcast that you can download. Both are great podcasts. Again, the NPR Technology podcast and the Marketplace Tech podcast that you can find anywhere you get your podcasts. So whether it be iTunes or Stitcher, both are really worth checking out. So this first podcast comes from the NPR Technology podcast, and it relates to solar energy and your local utility company.
Solar energy had a banner year in 2014. As more and more U.S. households make their own electricity with solar panels, they're paying less to electric utilities, and that's making the utilities a little nervous. In some states, those companies are fighting back. Lauren Summer of member station KQED and Dan Boyce of member station KUNC tell us how sunny California and Colorado are handling the rise of solar.
There's a quiet war going on, a slow, simmering battle between electric utilities and solar companies.
You probably haven't noticed this clash because it's happening one house at a time. Example, Barb Gifford and her husband Don Duggar are standing out in front of their place in Boulder, Colorado.
And they're watching the installation of their new rooftop solar system.
These are the kind of days in Colorado you go, oh my gosh, we should have solar. Because it's sunny, it's bright, it's blue.
For Don and Barb, the time feels right because solar has gotten a lot cheaper in the last few years.
Definitely cut our dependency on Xcel down dramatically by doing it that way.
Xcel Energy is their utility. Duggar thinks these panels could provide 80% of the power they use. That's power they won't have to buy from Xcel.
In fact, Xcel has to buy excess power from them.
That's a concern.
Xcel VP of Policy and Strategy, Frank Prager.
That's why we're trying to address it today before it gets to be too big a concern.
Let's explain for a second. If you put solar panels on your roof, most likely you're still going to be hooked up to the traditional electric grid. So you can still turn on the TV if the sun isn't shining.
But if the sun is shining, most state laws require your utility to pay you for any extra power you're feeding back onto the grid. And in California, it's starting to add up.
We have far and away the most customer solar.
That's Jonathan Marshall, a spokesman for Pacific Gas and Electric, which is the major utility in Northern California. It's home to a quarter of all the rooftop solar systems in the country.
And Marshall says with such low bills, solar customers aren't paying their share of keeping up the electric grid.
In fact, they use the grid more than almost anyone because they're selling power back into it.
So PG&E and California's two other major utilities are proposing a big change to make up lost revenue.
A fixed monthly charge that everyone would pay, $10 a month, $120 a year. The fee may not sound like much, but to solar companies, it's a direct attack.
Investor-owned utilities across the country are fighting rooftop solar.
That's Sanjay Ranchod of Solar City, the largest solar company in both California and Colorado.
He says the extra fee would make solar a harder sell for his company.
For a company that has depended on a monopoly, competition from Solar City or any other solar company is scary.
He says it also makes solar less attractive at a time when states are trying to encourage renewable energy.
UC Berkeley economist Severin Borenstein says this whole debate shows solar is a disruptive technology, kind of like cell phones were to landlines.
I think there's a big question in the electricity industry right now about what will happen to utilities and what their business model will be 10 or 20 or 30 years from now.
There's actually a name for the way solar is cutting into the utility business model.
The death spiral.
The more customers go solar, the more revenue utilities lose, so they have to raise prices to make it up.
But higher prices entice even more customers to go solar,
which creates a cycle
spiraling out of control. Borenstein says that's why utilities may need to consider a new business model. Instead of being power companies, they could become electric grid companies,
where they don't actually bring electricity in, they just shuffle it around between one house and another.
At Don Duggar and Barb Gifford's house in Colorado, they actually feel defiant about it, like the writing's on the wall.
Xcel either changes to match technology or they're going to get left behind.
In states with a lot of solar, that struggle is already playing out. For NPR News, I'm Lauren Sommer in San Francisco.
And I'm Dan Boyce in Denver.
This next story is from Marketplace Tech and deals with artificial intelligence. Enjoy.
As our machines get better and better at learning how to do stuff, taking in information and making their own decisions about what to do, some really smart people are getting scared that artificial intelligence could one day threaten humanity. Remember those three rules for robots thought up by Isaac Asimov?
The first law, a robot may not harm a human being. Number two, a robot must obey orders given it by qualified personnel. Rule number three, a robot must protect its own existence unless that violates rules one or two.
Well, this month, the organization called the Future of Life Institute put out an open letter pushing for socially responsible artificial intelligence research around the world. It's been signed by everybody from Stephen Hawking and Elon Musk to assistant law professor at University of Washington, Ryan Kalo. Mr. Kalo, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Ben. How you doing?
I'm well. Let's define socially responsible artificial intelligence. What is that in your mind?
One way to think about social responsibility in the context of artificial intelligence is that it doesn't reproduce outcomes that challenge or disrupt our values. So, for instance, an algorithm that ends up discriminating against people who are disadvantaged, people of color.
Essentially, a lot of what we're talking about here is making sure that artificial intelligence never does harm to humans.
At one level, yes. I mean, we are turning over tasks usually done by people to machines, and it's conceivable that they'll act in ways that are harmful. I think that is the much more plausible scenario than the, you know, robot twisting its mustache trying to plan to kill humanity.
I like the idea of a robot mustache, though.
So do I, very much.
Let me ask you this. Some of that artificial intelligence and how we leverage it actually really depends on us, right?
It does to a degree. But remember that as artificial intelligence evolves, it's going to have greater and greater agency. And I don't mean that in the free will sense. I just mean that it's going to have abilities that are ever more emergent and often in a useful way. You know, you might develop an artificial intelligence and it's meant to maximize some particular outcome, and that's how it was designed. And suddenly it begins to experiment and it begins to break out of the confined area that it's been initially done. And so, yes, you trace it back to people and engineers. The issue is that what's exciting about artificial intelligence is precisely what's dangerous about it, which is that artificial intelligence solves all kinds of problems in ways that humans wouldn't. In fact, it really wouldn't be quite as useful if it solved the problems the way that we would, because we would just solve the problems.
Ryan Kalo is an assistant law professor at the University of Washington and an affiliate scholar at the Stanford Center for Internet and Society. Ryan, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's going to do it for this week's show, everybody. I hope you enjoyed hearing a couple of different podcasts this week. As always, this is Todd Wilfurst for MIS. Talk to you next time.